Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
I was about to hyperventilate that we weren't going to have time for questions, but we're all right. I thought the jigsaw analogy was sort of summed it up perfectly, with kinship care being a very big piece of the puzzle, really. So, great. Just a quick word to people online, just to remind you that you can send in questions throughout the session and they will be passed on as and when. So get involved. And now I'm just going to open up to all of you guys, both in terms of questioning the speakers on what they've said, but also general discussion, comments, pieces, anything like that, really. Come on. There we are.
Hello, I'm Jane Anderson from Waltham Forest. It's a question for a set window to do with dual approval. Do you think, for most of the families that have done that, is the placement order already in place for children, or the care proceedings have been completed? Is that generally the trend?
It is, and in some cases, actually, the placement order has been revoked because the adoption plans have so long lapsed. So our advice would be that the placement order should remain in place, because the fostering placement can be made under the short-term regulations, as opposed to long-term, thinking about it as a long-term placement from day one, even though it is a permanent placement. So that's been a really difficult area to navigate, obviously, because trying to blend adoption and fostering regulations is complicated.
Do you see a provision for using this scheme for children who are still in proceedings? Because I know it then kind of slightly goes into concurrent planning.
I mean, we do operate a separate concurrent planning scheme, which is distinct in its own right. And actually, we haven't had an example yet of a child who's been referred to us in proceedings, so I can't honestly say yes or no, but I think it would be complicated. I wouldn't rule it out, but it would be complicated.
It's another question about your dual registration. So a typical child would be of the older age group, so we're talking about 5+, and would it include siblings?
It can do, yes.
And the other question is, would you approve the family just for one child or a sibling group of three? How would your...
It would very much depend on what they're offering and what the assessment process then informs us about. So it would be the exact same process as it would be for any foster carer. So they'd come with their motivation in terms of what they're offering, and then it's really about a social work assessment as to how valid that might be.
To think of what my adoption colleagues would ask would be, once a child's placed, would you place another one? Because that's always the issue in terms of making that child feel it's a permanent home. So
yes, that is the distinction. So if a family are dual approved for a sibling group of three and one child is placed, that's their placement considered complete. So it's not the same as short-term fostering in the sense where you, or a long-term arrangement where you'd have perhaps additional children, because I think that's the bit that we've really tried to make distinct from regular fostering.
So if you were thinking of developing that within your own service, and I'm from a local authority, you would really need to have a very distinctive scheme, because I could see that being put under pressure to place further children there.
Yes, and that's what we ended up doing at PAT, because we had a distinct fostering and adoption service operating already, so the dual approval is part of the fostering service, but it had to have a team set up in its own right, really, to bridge some of those challenges.
So you would say this is more fostering, start thinking fostering as opposed to thinking adoption, if you're in services which have both?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely urge colleagues to think fostering, because that's been one of the biggest challenges, really. So it works for children who might need permanence through adoption, but that isn't really the driver. And certainly for the carers, they are foster carers, so they're governed by fostering regulations, and you know, the training and everything is geared around that. The adoption or permanence elements really are the added module that runs right throughout, but they are foster carers.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Wow. People getting hungry. It is hot in here. No, last chance. Does anybody want to, Harvey or Sam wants to come back with any other points? Or I put you on the spot a little bit. That's not fair. Would you like to do another presentation? I fought for the question time, and now.
If I'd had a chance to ask the minister a question,
okay,
you wouldn't have answered my question because that's what ministers do. But do you know what I mean? If I'd been able to pose a question, then he'd give me an answer. I was going to ask him about the adoption and fostering links because the number of times I asked Tim Lawton about adoption being the priority, and he'd swear blue in the face that it wasn't. Whilst it clearly is, and the fact that he's gone might say something about that as well. In terms of recruitment, I wonder if or what kind of overlap there actually is. You know, there'll be people who do care of recruitment, etc., but clearly because of what we know about the motivation, but then also there's other sorts of ground there is that Satwinder's been describing, the other things that are in the tackling delay consultation. You know, where is it fruitful to do joint recruitment of some kind, and where is it clearly not? I suppose that's a question I was going to ask the minister. But so that's a point for strategy and activity.
Can I just ask a question of the audience?
Yeah.
How many of you actually got dedicated kinship care teams? Well, that's not too bad because some of them have been kind of folded into others, and you know, we've seen some of the resources for kinship care teams sort of dwindle a bit. Well, do come and have a chat with us and pick up some of our stuff and tell us what more we can do to support your work.
No? Okay. Well, I think it's been a really useful session, or both sessions this morning have been really useful, both in terms of setting the scene and really understanding what our challenges are, but, you know, really now looking to the opportunities, dual approval, looking within your own service for matching and kinship care. So, you know, I think really broad overview of what's going on and what's next. And we've got lots more to come this afternoon, including seminars. So don't forget, if you haven't signed up already, please do. Keep an eye on your evaluation forms and don't forget to hand them in. And we will be back at 2:15. Actually, I'll tell you what, let's come back at 2:10. So hopefully we won't race through quite so much this afternoon. So thank you very much. If we could thank the speakers again in the usual fashion.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.